solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. And they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees, and say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Father, we thank you for the encouragement of the scriptures. And as we sang about the beautiful name of Jesus, the name above every name, Lord, we just can't help but bow before you now and recognize that the reason we're here is because of you. We've gathered together today to worship you, God, to praise your holy name, and we want to hear from you. We want to hear from heaven. And I ask, God, that you would just teach us more about you, more about ourselves. Teach us, God, please, now, through your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, family.
Morning.
Happy Father's Day to all you dads. What a privilege it is, I'm telling you.
Happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you. It is a happy Father's Day, and I'm so blessed to be a dad and to have a dad. Family, we're in Acts chapter 4, and today studying verses 23 through 31. Praying with power. I think we need that.
Yes.
We need to learn to pray with power. Mm-hmm. And you know, as I was thinking about this passage, there's many people that pray that don't know Jesus. But the most important thing is, in order for any prayer to be heard, is a relationship with the one that we're praying to. And I'm so grateful that God has availed himself to us through his Son, and we can have a relationship with the Father because we have a relationship with Jesus, who has forgiven us of all of our sin, who has bestowed his mercy upon us every single day. Thank you, Lord. Whose grace has been poured into our lives, the sufficiency of God's grace, his goodness that he just lavished us with. As undeserving as we are, he's been good to us, hasn't he, family?
Yeah.
Hasn't God been good? So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this is the most important thing that you could ever, ever do in this life here on earth. And it must be done here, in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pray. And Father, if there's anyone here or even listening later that doesn't have that relationship with you, Father, that's so needful, essential, and necessary. And Lord, I know many, many pray, but you don't hear them because they don't know you, Lord. May today be the day when every knee bows before you and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God, the forgiver of our sin, the one who laid down his life on a cross, that cruel instrument of death that brought us life, the blood that was poured out that we could be forgiven of our sin, every single trace of it gone. We thank you for that. Lord, do the work. Do the work that is necessary to bring salvation to every person, please. Draw us, remove blinders, open up our eyes that we would see you. And see you clearly. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Do you ever think that sometimes your prayers seem ineffective? Or am I the only one here? Or sometimes that God just doesn't hear you? Could it be that at times you feel powerless spiritually in order to witness for Jesus Christ? I think that can be a fairly common thing for us as Christians. We go through these seasons. Do you struggle sometimes with what to do as the gospel and the church is under attack? I believe with all my heart that we find some answers here in today's passage. You know, as we just kind of look back a little bit in the book of Acts, we see that Peter and John were being used powerfully by the Lord. The baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak with power and authority. Lives were being changed. Souls were being saved. They were strong witnesses of Christ. That they were a testimony of God's power. They testified of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God used them to bring healing to a man that was considered lame. That's all we know about him. Lame since birth, a lame man. And God not only healed him of his lameness, but his spiritual lameness as well. So as all this is taking place, as you know, the religious community, they weren't particularly fond of what was taking place. So what did they do? They threatened Peter and John, threw them in prison for a night, and they were ordered not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And it tells us in verse 20 of Acts chapter 4, this is their response, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." We can't help it. We can't help telling others about Jesus Christ. God wouldn't have us to be silent, so we're not going to be silent. That was their response. So verse 21, it says, "When they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done." There was too many witnesses of what took place. So they said, well, we better at least back off a little bit right now. But I want to pick up in verse 23. This is after they've been released. I want to read through verse 31. It says, "And being let go, they went to their own company," or their own people, "and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child or servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." You gotta love this passage. It is so incredible, and I'd like to go through it and understand in a greater degree what their prayer was about and how their prayer actually released the power of God's Holy Spirit upon them. But a question is, what is it that brought this group to pray? Well, we know that, as we just read in part, the gospel was being opposed. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was rejected. It was denied. And this is what drove the need for prayer. And you know what? As I think about that, that ought to be our response when trouble hits, shouldn't it? You see, when trouble comes our way, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be praying. This is what they did. But all too often, that's not the Christian response. What do we do sometimes? Sometimes we complain. The condition of the world, we know it's a mess. God knows it's a mess. But what do? I complain. Sometimes I complain about it when I should be praying. Posting opinions on social media platforms rarely, if ever, causes any kind of godly change. If we want to see change, then we ought to be looking to the one that can affect change. And I'm talking about a heart change. That's what's needed, a heart change. It's not a change of circumstances, it's a heart change. That's what's needed in us and in every single person that walks this planet. Every person needs Jesus Christ, and it requires a heart change.
Amen.
And Jesus can bring about a heart change. There are people perishing every single day that don't know Jesus Christ. There's a flood of immorality everywhere, murder, infanticide, drug and alcohol abuse. Sexual perversion that's multiplying daily. What's the solution? Hold up a sign? I don't think so. The solution? Prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14 through 16 says, if my people, that's us, if my people are called by my name and shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now, what's he saying here? If my people humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, that's us. See, we have to be that example, don't we?
True.
Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. What a great promise. God's calling on his people to repent and pray, and he will bring about forgiveness. He will bring about healing to our homes, to our families, to our towns, to our cities, and to our nation. That's what God says we must do. Well, we just read in Acts chapter 4 how the apostles gathered together to pray. What kind of prayer did they pray? They prayed with power. Look at again at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. When these disciples prayed, the whole place was shaken. God's presence, God's power was being witnessed. Well, what can we learn from their prayer? Well, first, they acknowledged God as creator of all things. Look at verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Lord, you're the Almighty. You're the Creator. You're the one that's in charge. They told us we can't preach in the name of Jesus. But you know, Lord, you're greater than that. You created them and you created us. And all things are under your feet. All things are at your disposal. What did this do for them? Well, acknowledging God as Creator did something. It put things into proper perspective. God, you created all this. What's that mean? Well, I can trust him. When things seem to go sideways or against you, get the proper perspective. Look beyond what you see to what you don't see. Look beyond the creature and look to the Creator, and this will bring a proper perspective and focus to you. And when you do, what's going to happen? You can begin to pray with confidence and boldness. The second thing that their prayer included was this. They acknowledged God as sovereign, that he's in control. We looked at verses 25 through 28. I'm going to read it again. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. You see, this was a very difficult situation for these disciples. But then what did they do? They looked back to the cross. They looked to the cross. This was the most brutal, the most difficult, most painful thing they had ever witnessed. Jesus was murdered in barbaric fashion. The Roman soldiers, certainly partakers, the high court of Herod and Pontius Pilate had one thing in mind, and that is to put Jesus to death and destroy Christianity once and for all. But they quoted Psalm 2. This is what we see here. And understood that 700 years before Jesus was born, that this would happen. It was no surprise, but God's sovereign hand was shown in advance. He used the word in verse 28, thy counsel determined before to be done. In Acts 2, verse 23, it says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. It wasn't an accident that Jesus died on the cross. It was part of God's plan. And his plan was for you and me, that we could be redeemed, that we could be saved and forgiven of our sin. God says, I want that, and I'm sending my son to accomplish it. God not only saw all of this in advance, but he planned it for the salvation of mankind. You see, God is sovereign. God is in control. He's never left his throne. He knew exactly and precisely what was going to happen. And you see, family, we need to keep this in mind. And sometimes, don't we give far too much credit to the devil? Like somehow he's taken over and that things won't turn out like the Bible tells us. But listen, family, nothing has happened that God has not already seen in advance and has under his control. God has been in control. God is in control, and God will forever be in control. And you know, when we consider the future of the devil, he has a rude homecoming waiting in the wings, and he knows it. Revelation 20, verse 10 says, And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, or the Antichrist, and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where they will be kept forever. They are not going to be annihilated. They'll be tormented forever. That's a long time. How can they be preserved forever in fire and not be consumed? That's because God has the authority even over the fire. Didn't he have authority over the fire at the burning bush of Moses? Well, this bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. Who had authority over it? God did. Didn't he have authority over the fire when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the furnace? You see, God controls all. The devil was a defeated foe at the cross of Calvary. There is no panic in heaven, only plans. And you know what? His plans are always right. His plans are always good. They're always on time. So the disciples prayed, Lord, you're the creator, and therefore you're in control. And if you're in control, we're not worried. Back to Psalm 2. I want to read to you verses 1 through 6. This is out of the New Living Translation. I thought it was an interesting translation in this particular case, where it says, why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they cry, and free ourselves from slavery to God. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then in anger he rebukes them, terrifying them with his fierce fury. For the Lord declares, I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem, on my holy mountain. What is this saying? It says that God is on the throne. The enemies of God, the devil is doomed. The rebellious kings of the earth, they thought they won. But what's it say? God laughs at their foolishness. I have set my king upon the holy hill, Zion. You know, there's a very, very concise summary of the entire Bible. In fact, two words. God wins. God wins. And because we are in Christ and God wins, then we win, don't we? We have victory. He is the creator. He is in control. He's a conquering God that wins in the end. And with that in mind, rather than complaining and whining, we ought to be praising God and thanking Him for the victory. You see, that gives us a right perspective in prayer, doesn't it? We can pray with confidence. The third thing I'd like to mention, we find in verse 29, and this is, we find humility in their prayers. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Lord, behold their threats. Lord, you hear their hearts. We're just your servants. We're your ministers. And the Greek word is bond, the Greek means bond slaves or ministers, under rowers. You see, ministry is being a servant, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. And the word servant here or minister, it means an under rower. And everyone, I believe, needs to understand this term. It's one who was chained to the lowest deck of a ship, the lowest position, nowhere to go but to serve. That's how others must see us, willing to do whatever for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. As ministers of Christ, under rowers, the lowest of slaves. Isn't that what Jesus did? He took on the role of the lowest of the servants. And what did he do? He grabbed a basin and a towel and he washed the disciples' feet. Peter didn't quite like that idea. And Jesus said, Peter, you better let me wash your feet. And you know what? Jesus even washed Judas's feet, knowing full well that he would betray him, and he didn't treat him any differently. He washed his feet. Under rower, lowest of the low. You see, family, a servant has made a commitment to his master to obey. Pastor Ange talked about that earlier at the very beginning, to obey and serve with humility. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And this is what the disciples had. They had that attitude, that servant attitude, this humility, which means that they were submitted to Jesus. And here highlights a key to answered prayer. It's submission. Total submission. You want more strength? You want more power to serve Jesus? Then submit to Him. You need a heart of humility and submission. Why would God give you more strength and power to serve someone else? Apart from God's kingdom, I'm talking about. These disciples were committed to Jesus. They were submissive. They weren't rebellious. You see, answered prayer is not for rebels. It's for those that are submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what did they ask for in their prayer? Again, I draw your attention to verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Grant thy servants with all boldness that they may speak your word. They wanted God's power. For what? to speak the word of God, to carry out the Great Commission. You see, that had always been their commission and their mission to obey the Great Commission. And they said, Lord, we're asking you now for boldness in doing so. And I want to point something out. What was it that got them into trouble with the religious people in the first place? It was the preaching of God's word. It was the expression of the word of God. And Lord, we want and need your power to be bold to continue what we've been doing all along.
Amen.
Notice that they didn't pray, Lord, move us out of here. This is too hostile an environment. Take us somewhere else. They didn't pray, Lord, just keep us safe. They didn't pray, remove all the opposition. No, they prayed, Lord, give us more of what got us into trouble in the first place. Lord, we're in trouble for preaching your word. Now, God, please give us that boldness to go out and do it some more. Some people think that Jesus came into the world to get us out of trouble. You know what? He came into the world to get into trouble with us. He stands with us in our times of trouble, doesn't he? John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Again, in the book of Daniel, the three Hebrew boys, they got into trouble. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego got in trouble, and they received a sizzling death sentence for refusing to worship Nebuchadnezzar the king. But what did they do? They did exactly what the apostles did. They did what they always did. They worshiped God, knowing the consequence of doing so. Now, did they cry out to God, God, put out that fire? No, they did not. Did they say, God, get us out of here? No, they did not. Here's what it says in Daniel 3:17-18. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They refused. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. And Jesus stood in the fire with them. And he protected them in order to use them. Well, what do we see throughout the book of Acts? The disciples, they pretty much stayed in a place of trouble, didn't they? Did that shut down the church?
No.
We're still here. Tribulation, trouble did not shut down the church or reduce its effects on the world. No, just the opposite. The church started from a very small beginning, a humble beginning, and here we are, thousands of years later, still carrying on the Great Commission. The gospel grew, the church in the then known world. So they prayed with boldness to continue to preach, or for boldness to preach the word of God with boldness. The fourth thing, they desired God's power to be manifested through them. Verse 29 and 30. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. They're asking Jesus to stretch forth his hand through them.
Amen.
Lord, may our hands be your hands, and use them to bring about healing, signs, and wonders. Lord, don't hold anything back. And you know, God answered their prayer. In Acts chapter 5, verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. They didn't do the work, but Jesus did the work through them. And that's what they prayed. You and I are the body of Christ. And because you and I are the body of Christ, Jesus inhabits us. And he wants his deity to be seen through us. But the question is, are you available to him? Have you made yourself available to him? Lord, my hands are yours. You've saved me for your purposes. My eyes are yours. My feet are yours. And if you so desire to stretch forth your hands through my hands, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord. We see, we are God's hands and feet in this world, aren't we? Empowered by God's Holy Spirit. Well, they also, there's another thing that they desired in prayer. That Jesus would be glorified.
Amen.
Verse 30 again, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Not by us. Not in our name, but in
Jesus.
Your name. Anything that's done in the name of Jesus, it's going to be obvious. Why? Because it will be done in order. It'll be done properly. It'll be done with power. It will be done with authority, and you will see fruit from it. When we studied verse 10, we spoke of the power in His name. It's the name that is above every other name, and there is no other name under heaven whereby men might be saved. We pray in the name of Jesus, don't we?
Yeah.
It means we pray in His character, in His authority, according to His will, and all for His glory. Family, we need to remember this. It's all for His glory. Psalm 115, verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." And in our prayers, we ought to be very, very concerned with the glory of Jesus, that glory would be directed to Him. And that's the prayer that these disciples prayed. These several points. James said this in chapter 4, verse 3. He said, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." I don't see anywhere in the passage that we just read where these disciples were really praying anything for themselves. They wanted the power of God. They didn't say, "Give us more of anything." They didn't even ask for anything about themselves. "Give me more clothing," whatever. No. They wanted the power of God to be manifested in their lives. You see, in our prayer life, family, we can't confuse the master-servant relationship. What do I mean by that? And we see it here too, that they didn't confuse that at all. We're your humble servants. But sometimes we treat God as our servant and not our master. We are instructed to come to the throne of grace boldly, but that means with confidence, not ordering God around. He's God and we're not. He is the master. We are His servants. And prayer brings God's power right into our lives. In this group of disciples, they prayed. They first acknowledged God as creator. Second, they acknowledged God as sovereign. Third, they had humility in their prayer. Fourth, they prayed that they would speak the word of God with boldness. Fifth, they prayed that God's power would be manifested through them. And last, that Jesus would be glorified. All those things are included in that section. Now, what was the result of that? What was the result of those disciples praying as described? Again, let's look at verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Remember in Acts chapter 2, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. And here, what do we find? We find they're filled with the Holy Spirit again. Now, what does this say? Well, first, it says that we need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. How often? Always. Continually. And second, we can't live on what we received yesterday. There must be a time of powerful prayer daily, so we are freshly filled with the Spirit every single day. And there's something else that I want to point out, and that's this. After this time of prayer, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, And God answered their prayer. Do you remember what they prayed for? Verse 29, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they or we may speak thy word. They prayed, Lord, with all boldness, we want to speak your word. And what did God give them? He gave them all boldness to speak the word of God. It wasn't about putting on any kind of show. It wasn't about them making themselves feel good, but to empower them to speak the word of God with boldness, just as promised in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. They needed that power from on high to do the things they did. We need that power from on high to do the things that God calls us to do. And I believe that if we pay attention to what these disciples did and how they prayed, you will witness a great change in your spiritual life, because their prayers were right on. You see, it's the same Holy Spirit now as it was then. Our marching instructions are the same now as they were then. The Great Commission still exists. It's still alive and well. God hasn't changed his plan. And God's heart continues to be that his precious and holy word goes out with boldness. For what reason? So that souls get saved. That's what it's about. The word of God never changes. Faith is established and grows the same way as it did then. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need 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 the Holy Spirit of God. We need his power. So what continues to be our need? God hasn't changed. Our need is this. That fresh filling of God's Spirit. For what purpose? So that we can speak the word of God with boldness. What did they do? They acknowledged God as creator. God, you've created all things. You created me. You created the world. They acknowledged the sovereignty. God, you have control over all things. They had humility. God, we're just your servants. It's not about us, it's about what you can do through us. And we want you to use us. God, we want to be your hands. We want to be your mouthpieces. Help us speak the word with boldness. Manifest your power in us and through us. And it would be to your glory, to God's glory. And what happened? The place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I think we need that. Do you need that? I need that. And God has given us everything that we need to facilitate that in our lives. I want to be a witness for Christ. I don't want to be a witness for me. I don't want to be a witness for church. I want to be a witness for Jesus. Because he is the one, and we touched on this at the very beginning, he is the one that changes lives. And he has called you by name. He's called you for a purpose. He desires to use you just like he used the disciples in the early church. Nothing has changed except time. Nothing has changed except circumstances. But you know, when it all boils down, it's the same as it was then. Maybe a little bit more complicated. Who knows? But persecution is persecution. Threatening is threatening. Silencing is trying to silence. You know, things haven't changed. And we serve a God that never changes. And he wants to use you. Let's pray. And Father, as we've looked at these verses, and we see how when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Lord, maybe we need a shaking. You know what we need. Maybe we need an awakening. But I know one thing for certain, and there's no maybe about it. We need your power. We need the power of God's Holy Spirit. And help us to be mindful in our prayer time, Lord. Even as we approach people, as we approach situations, Lord, to just remember the things that we learned today. And it's right here recorded in Scriptures, what they did, that they would speak the word of God with boldness. You are our Creator. You purchased us. You're sovereign. Your plan of salvation has always existed. And we thank you, Father, that you are so mindful of us, even as undeserving as we are. You're so mindful of us that you desired to save us. Your plan for your Son to lay his life down on a cross was for me. It was for us. Help us to take on the role of a servant with humility in our prayers, Lord. Give us those humble hearts. And I don't even want to say keep me humble. I need to be humble, Lord. I need that. And we need that. And Father, please help us to speak with the boldness that is only authored by you. We want it to be all about, as the Spirit of God prompts us and moves us to speak, give us the words. And it's all to your glory, all to the glory of Jesus Christ. Fill us, Lord. Fill us now. Shake what needs to be shaken. Loose what needs to be loosed. We're yours. We avail ourselves to you. And Lord, if there's any reluctance in any of our heart to avail ourselves to you, Lord, we know that you can correct that. Please do so. For the glory of God, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to invite our worship team up now.